Hi, everybody, and thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen in on our Hilco Global Smarter Perspectives podcast. I am your host, Steve Katz, and if this is your first time with us, welcome. We're glad you could tune in. Today, we're going to be talking again about one of my very favorite topics personally, wine, the wine market, and we'll be getting some insight on developments specifically in the California bulk wine market from our friend Sandy Mikus, who serves as evaluation director for Hilco Global and focuses on the wine market. And we've spoken with Sandy before. Sandy, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you on. Listen, to get started, maybe you can talk a little bit about what you've been seeing over the past year or so since we last discussed the market.
Sure, I'm happy to. So the California bulk wine market has continued to struggle over the last couple years. And it doesn't really seem that that's going to be changing anytime soon, just based on, you know, people in the industry and just the market trends that we're seeing currently. So just as an example, Turrentine Brokerage, who's one of the big California bulk wine brokers, they reported that last year around this time, they had listed about 19 million gallons of bulk wine for sale. And this year, it's more around 24 million gallons. So, you know, just by looking at those trends that they're seeing, there's more bulk wine for sale. They also report that there are fewer buyers currently than there were even back in 2018. So they're seeing less and less activity just with active buyers. I think that's attributed to a few things. I think some wineries who maybe historically used to have to purchase bulk wine to supplement their, you know, stock of bulk wine aren't doing that anymore because as consumer demand for wine has dropped, the wineries, some have started bottling less, so they have more bulk wine. It's just sort of a trend that's happened. And so, you know, they're thinking that this is going to continue. They have said in, you know, recent, you know, the last month or so in March, there were reports that some varietals in California were picking up, specifically more the whites, like Chardonnay or Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
But not really as much on the reds or other, and it's really more region specific. So they're not really seeing what they would like to see. They think the increase, you know, they have more older bulk wine than they historically have carried. And they think once the 2023 bulk wines really start becoming available, then they're expecting that to even grow further. So there's a little concern about the amount of wine. And, you know, the talk in the industry is that if the market was more active, they believe that there would be even more bulk wine for sale, but many winemakers are holding back listing because, you know, it's just driving the pricing down. And so they really kind of, depending on who you speak to, some people think it's actually worse than what we see. So yeah, it's really interesting to follow.
Yeah, it is interesting. Okay, good info to get us started, Sandy. What about the harvest this past year, or the harvest as we expect them coming up, and also the pricing? What are we looking at in terms of pricing now?
So the 2023 crop during the fall harvest period was estimated to be just under 4 million tons. So I think 3.67 was the exact number. 3.67 million tons were harvested. However, generally over, you know, if you speak to the growers and, you know, what we've seen is that if they had actually harvested all of the grapes that were available, it would have been over 4 million tons. But many of the growers are not even harvesting all of their crops because there's no market for them. And so because there's so much excess bulk wine, many of the wineries have cut back on their grape purchases because they just don't need the volume. And so it's trickling down, as you can see, to even the growers who are now having to walk away from some of the crop because there's no market. So they're just not harvesting it. And the same thing's actually happening now in the spring, where some of the growers are not even pruning all of the vineyards because they don't believe there's going to be a market for it. So they don't want to spend the labor to do that pruning. And so it's definitely having an impact, you know, all the way down. And as far as pricing, you know, it's interesting because many of the wineries are in, some are long-term contracts with the growers. And historically, the way it's worked is every year, just like you would imagine, there's sort of an escalator in the contract. So every year, the grape price will go up by some percentage. And so we've seen the cost going up, the cost of grapes. However, that's not really indicative of, you know, a supply and demand situation, because then when you look on the spot market for grapes, people who are just trying to buy, you know, at the last minute who are not contracted, those prices are down considerably. And so I think it's interesting to see the dynamic that's happening. And I think that's why some of the wineries are starting to pull back from the growers, because I think that, you know, they know they could probably get better pricing. And so seems like there's going to be a lot of negotiating going on in 2024, because there's a lot up in the air, and even the growers, you know, aren't really sure what's going to happen. So.
Yeah, that's great. Great insights, kind of reading between the lines there. That's what you don't necessarily pick that up unless you're close to the industry as you are. So that's really, really great info. I guess I was kind of wondering this, you know, is this something that's unique to California, or is it a broader Pacific Northwest phenomenon right now? What's the situation there?
Well, it's, you know, frankly, it's a global issue, but specifically, I think everyone is seeing it globally, but the Pacific Northwest is unique in that they have one company, the St. Michelle Wine Estates, who's far and away the biggest entity in Washington or in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And they recently told their growers that they were going to cut their purchasing by 40%, which is huge, obviously. Yeah. Yeah. And so what that means is they're going to go from you growing, you know, and they're taking approximately 35,000 acres of vineyards down to about 18,000 over a period of, say, 10 years. They've already been reducing it slowly over the last few years, but now they're doing a drastic, you know, 40% cut. So that's just shocking everybody. I mean, I've spoken to many people in that region, and it's, you know, everyone's very, very concerned.
Yeah, I understand.
St. Michelle was using 70% of the state's entire grape acreage, I'll say, and now they're going to be down to approximately 30%. And so many of those growers are likely going to be out of business. Some are not even, you know, replanting. It's definitely been a shock. Now, for other people, other wineries, they're obviously in a great position to start negotiating pricing. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, given that this is really going to be the first year that whole situation is going to be in effect with the 40% reduction.
Yeah.
So it's concerning for a lot of people up there.
It sounds like it would be concerning. Certainly, yeah. If I was in the industry, I would be concerned. What about, so you mentioned, you know, the global situation, and, you know, it isn't specific to California. It's not even just specific to the Northwest. It's more, you know, it's more global. What about, are there other trends in the bulk wine market that are happening around the world that are really, you know, driving this, you know, specifically?
The situation in the Northwest is being impacted by a situation in Australia. There are other regions, obviously, that are impacting globally. I mean, Italy's being impacted, France, Argentina, all of South America, everybody. But in Australia, it's been sort of a unique situation because back in 2020, Australia was exporting a lot of bulk wine into China. And in 2020, the Chinese government put a tariff on bulk wine imported from Australia. And it basically, you know, just almost stopped all of the export from Australia into China. So just as a, just to give an idea, the export from Australia to China used to be about $790 million. Yeah. And now it's about 54 million. So that's been a huge issue. Now, the flip side of that is just about a week ago, the Chinese government lifted that tariff. And so, you know, nobody really knows what's going to happen. Now, China has seen, just like the U.S., a decrease in consumption of wine. And, you know, they have other struggles in the wine space. So, you know, nobody really knows how this is all going to settle out now that Australia will be able to export into China. But in the meantime, what was happening also is Australia was exporting even to the U.S. into the Pacific Northwest. And that was really hurting the bulk market up there.
Yeah.
Because they were doing it so cheap. So, you know, it's interesting because this is just now happening with the tariff being lifted. So we'll have to kind of stay tuned to see how it plays out in the next, you know, 6 months to a year.
Yeah, hot off the presses. All right. Well, we'll in our next conversation, and we'll talk about what that yielded. I guess why did I use the word yielded? I guess, you know, I think of crops and yield from yeah. crops, but it will be interesting to see is what results from that. All right, and then I guess just to wrap us up, this is, by the way, great information and super relevant, especially given the timing of that word from China on the lifting of the tariffs. But for the benefit of lenders who are, you know, either already involved with businesses that are wine producers in the Northwest or elsewhere, or those who could be getting involved in the market moving ahead, what valuation focused diligence thoughts or recommendations would you think are critical to share given what we talked about today?
Well, I would say any lender in the bulk wine space should have an understanding that any liquidation scenario that you may have had even a couple years ago is probably not relevant anymore. I think the liquidations would take longer and they are going to net less. Obviously, it depends on the vintage and varietal and all that. And, you know, there are a lot of factors, obviously. However, just the market in general is down. And so, you know, in 2020, when we saw the big fires in Napa and people were just frantically buying bulk wine wherever they could get it, you know, that immediately after that, there was, you know, a big hole in the market. I mean, there just wasn't a lot of wine. And so appraisals that were done back then, some lenders, you know, maybe haven't updated. And so I think it's important for them to realize that, you know, those market conditions are not the case anymore. And so, you know, that's one thing that they would want to understand. And also, you know, the costing issue that we were talking about, we've seen some estate vineyards where they're growing and producing all of their bulk wine in-house. You know, their costs are up and maybe, you know, they're not harvesting as much. So what that's doing is driving up the cost of their bulk wine. And so, because the demand is down, they can't really increase their price of the finished wine at the same rate that their costs are going up for the grapes and the harvesting. So, you know, there could be reductions in margin on the finished goods side, you know, related to this. And so I think it's important for lenders to, you know, really watch that. We've seen some entities, some of the wineries who their costs have gone up so much, and when we ask them, well, are you going to raise your price that much? Because can your, you know, will your customer base absorb that kind of increase? And they say no. And they essentially say they have to sell it at a loss this year or like 1 year because they have no choice. So I think it's important for lenders to understand that side of it as well.
Yeah, tough situation, obviously, for some in the market right now. Well, listen, Sandy, thanks so much. Very informative as usual. For listeners who might have follow-up questions, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can feel free to reach out to me at any time. My email is smickas at hilcoglobal.com. And my phone number is 626-622-3237. Or I can also be reached on LinkedIn.
All right, perfect. Again, appreciate it, Sandy. And listeners, as always, we hope that this Smarter Perspective podcast provided you with at least one key takeaway that you can put to good use in your business or share with a colleague or client to help make them that much more successful moving forward. And remember that you can always check out more great podcasts and articles featuring timely insights from Hilco experts like Sandy at hilcoglobal.com/smarter-perspectives. Until next time, for Hilco Global, I'm Steve Katz.